your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 310 for July 12th, 2015 are Coy Seipert.
Hey, everybody.
Jay Gilbert.
It's number 310. I think I was on number 10.
I think you might have been. And Owen Killam.
Hello, hello.
So tonight, the panel is going to be taking another blue sky look at Walt Disney World. This time, we're going to try and take a blue sky view of Marvel at Walt Disney World. There's all this rumor and stuff going about ongoing negotiations about Disney trying to recapture the rest of those Marvel rights. And so we thought it was time to look at, if they were to recapture those rights, where we'd like to see those Marvel properties at Walt Disney World. But before we delve into that discussion, I want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys. The next time your family is considering a themed entertainment destination vacation, consider working with the Fairytale Journeys Travel Planner. They'll help make that Disneyland, Universal Studios, Florida or Hollywood, Disney Cruise, other cruise line, or Walt Disney World vacation the best vacation it can be with the least stress, because you can tell them what you see as the ideal vacation, and them, well, they'll just make it happen for you. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, guys. So I assume that, you all have been following along with the news a bit. We're all Marvel fans. And so there have been a series of sort of, maybe not so much publicly announced, but at least within the comic community and within the, folks who follow this a little more closely, news that's popped up that suggests that Disney is being a little more aggressive about control of these, Marvel comic characters. One of the ones, for example, that comes to mind immediately is that, Marvel recently has sort of launched another label-wide series. And one of the things that's happened with that relaunch is there's no more Fantastic Four.
That definitely was something we talked about in our house. My son is a huge Marvel fan, and he was a little upset that they were losing the Fantastic Four for sure.
So we're seeing that kind of rebooted. We've got what appears to be a directive from Marvel that there will be no more new mutants coming to the X-Men. Right, they sort of closed the book on the X-Men mutants. That seems to be a shot aimed at Fox, which, by virtue of a licensing agreement from before Disney's purchase, has the control of X-Men, which is defined as mutant superheroes.
Right,
and so that's why we don't have mutants in the Avengers. And they've had to come up with a new explanation for it. So all that is background. That's been going on. The changes in the comic books, it seems that all of this is designed to put pressure on these, property holders outside of Disney that still have control over some of these Disney characters. And, gee, what purpose could that have other than to try and set up, bringing more of these back home? So If we're going to dream a little bit that somehow Universal either gives up for some reason or gets bought out of their theme park rights east of the Mississippi, where, when they finally get them back, do we want to see these Marvel properties showing up in Disney parks? And so we're going to kind of throw the doors wide open. And it's blue sky, so, budget's not so much the issue. But remember that there are different things we can do here. We're going to talk some about where we'd like to see Marvel characters. We're going to talk about maybe there are some rides that could be rethemed or areas that could be rethemed. And in some cases, we may be looking at, big major construction projects. So why don't we kind of just start working our way around through some of these ideas? And, Coy, I know you mentioned you were brainstorming with your son for some thoughts. So, what's something that the brain trust there came up with?
Well, we were just kind of going through meet and greets and where you would put somebody, you know, without having to build something new. If you just said, hey, we're going to have Marvel characters in Disney tomorrow. And the first one we thought of was doing a meet and greet with Ant-Man in the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground area in Hollywood Studios.
I love it.
I mean, you've got it sitting there. It's shady down there. You've got room. I thought, you know, you could just throw a guy in a suit in there and be done.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the backdrop already in place.
Yeah, and it's probably not quite proportionally. I don't know. It's probably pretty close. Yeah. It's quite small enough, but yeah.
That's great. So, I love that. Quick and easy and ready-made. All right. So the Koi's first idea, the character meet and greet there in Hollywood Studios in the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground area currently. We convert that into the meet and greet area, and you get this immersive meet and greet experience. All right, Jay, how about you? One of the things on your list?
Well, my son's first thing, we actually did a couple rides. We did some other stuff. I did very similar to what Koi did. I talked to the kids to see what they would like. The one thing we talked about was actually retheming all of Interventions into Stark Industries.
Yeah.
And have it be like,
yeah,
you know, the suits, and because that area is already there. And I hate to say it, but not many people spend much time there. But if you change it to Marvel, I could see it definitely being a whole new, you know, a whole new thing at Epcot.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, frankly, if we're going to talk big picture blue sky and really big blue sky, I know that this is, you know, probably going to, you know, I'll get the emails and the tweets from the purists, but, you know, I've said somewhat similar things about Epcot before. It just seems to me that at this point, I would love to see them just reboot Future World as, you know, as a center for these Marvel properties, because it seems to me that that whole sort of, you know, Stark Expo and all of that is Future World.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I really think you could go around and do cohesive theming that would allow you to update almost the entire Future World in ways that would integrate, you know, that Marvel universe in interesting, creative, positive ways.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I love changing it to, you know, even if you just did to Stark Industries, just the, because I love, when I was younger going to Disney and Interventions was like, you know, upcoming technology and new gadgets. And it was more, you know, if you change it to Stark and put back in like the latest and greatest and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you'd just get, it'd just be a cool place to hang out and look through. And yeah, I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
My wife said the same thing. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that was actually one of my ideas too, is to rebrand that area as a Stark Technologies, because I think it's kind of Epcot, in some parts of Epcot seem a little outdated now and need to be either totally redone with actual future technology or do something like this where it's a Marvel property. And you could even do a show or something like Iron Man 2 when they had the Stark Expo and he flies in. And I mean, I don't know if they could do that or not, but they could, you know, do a thing where Tony Stark shows up and shows you all this cool stuff, and then maybe somebody attacks the show and, you know, War Machine shows up or something like that. It's kind of a good opportunity for a show, too.
Sure, and, you know, it would take advantage of all of the new, you know, projection technology that they've been working on and implementing all around in other places in the parks. I think that's great, and all of that really, it seems to me that none of this would need to be, you know, hugely radical, right? I mean, we've got the bones for a lot of this stuff. And I think what we've learned over the last, you know, 30 years of Epcot is that the vision of Epcot showing off, you know, cutting edge technology from American industry, it was a great vision, but it's just not paying off. And
right.
I think that we are in an era where the companies that might do such things, they're just not inclined to share publicly their cutting-edge science that way. It's too hyper-competitive. It's too secretive. They don't want to play. And if we can't get the real stuff, then let's at least stimulate imaginations with a vision of what that future cutting-edge technology could be.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of the Disney, is a Disney theme.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Did so, we really just all agree?
I think we did.
That might be a first on a Blue Sky show.
Especially considering we've just basically suggested, you know, bulldozing future world.
I'm in. I'll drive.
Wait, I want more segues, though.
Can we get rid of Figment, too, while we're at it?
Hey, don't talk about Figment. We just have to retheme it.
Well, sure. Hey, you could do great things. I mean, you could put Mysterio in there, right? And it could be all, you know, playing with illusion.
Journey into imagination with Mysterio.
There you go.
Brilliant.
All right. So Owen, did you have a concept, a blue sky thought for us?
Yeah, I kind of thought... it seems like, well, my first idea was the Tony Stark one we talked about, but I also had one with, I think it'd be pretty cool to do a, kind of like a 4D ride type thing. You could kind of do like a Soarin' type ride, or you could just do like a theater show of Ant-Man, where, you know, you'd feel like you were shrinking down small, and then they would add, you know, 4D elements of you running around. I've seen the trailer where he's like on a train set, basically. You could do stuff like that, pretty cool, and, you know, maybe have dogs and cats chasing you or stuff, kind of to go back to the old Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing that they used to have, and then maybe make you feel like you're a giant for some portions of it, because I think that's one of his things, too. I don't know a whole lot about Ant-Man, but I think he can get really big, too.
The comic Ant-Man certainly can. I haven't seen the movie yet, so I don't know about that one, but... you know, the concept is still there in the Marvel Universe, and, you know, it's kind of bringing together the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids show and the Tough to Be a Bug show, and, you know, kind of taking some of those elements together and modernizing it and including the Marvel characters. I think that's great. I mean, I guess, you know, I've mentioned one of my big blue sky ideas, which is, you know, to basically, because I think there is, I know there's a lot of sentiment to put the Marvel characters at Hollywood Studios, and I understand that, and I can support that too, and I've got some things about, you know, that I can mention for Hollywood Studios as well. The one thing about, it, you know, putting them in Epcot instead of in Hollywood Studios is that you've already got kind of a mishmash of intellectual properties in Hollywood Studios, especially with expansions of Pixar and Star Wars coming, and, you know, rumors of maybe some even increased presence of Indiana Jones. So if that's the case, I just think that there's so much intellectual property to mine there in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that, you know, why not leverage the available mind space there in Epcot? And I know people are purists and they want to say that characters don't belong in Epcot. You know what? Things change, times change, and I think that Epcot can really better serve its original purpose, which is to, you know, really sort of spark imaginations about the potential of the future and technology's role in it by leveraging those Marvel characters and the Marvel, you know, milieu, the technology of the imagination there.
I totally agree, and I think, you know, a lot of people, I know for a long time they didn't really have the characters featured in Epcot, but the character experience they added at Epcot is, I think, one of the best in the whole Disney World, like where you go in there where they have the animation, and then you stand in line and basically get to meet every single Disney character, just kind of in a line, and I think it works really well there. So I think characters definitely do have a place at Epcot. You just have to find a good spot that makes sense for them.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of rebranding Epcot. It's just so much room. I mean, mean, there's just massive amount. The front half of Epcot is just so big compared to, you know, the amount of area you have in Hollywood Studios or whatever. You just got so much room to do stuff with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, I mean, there's just so much potential to do whatever.
Right, right. And I mean, you know, the goal of this show wasn't to do, you know, play Blue Sky Epcot and redo Epcot,
right.
Which we can do pieces of. It was really more to focus on you know, where we could integrate Marvel. But, you know, I think we all realize we've all kind of latched onto this, that there's so much potential there. And in a lot of ways, it can almost overlay some of the existing attractions, right? I mean, there's no reason that there aren't ways that you know, a lot of this can be incorporated into what's already there.
Right.
Well, now, Coy, did you have another idea that you brought with you to the show here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so what's another way that you'd like to see Marvel integrated into Walt Disney World?
Well, I'll go with kind of where we're talking about. My wife mentioned that it'd be cool with the new, you know, if we reboot Soarin with a new film, you know, you could put Iron Man in it and fly alongside, or, you know, anybody else that flies. But you could, you know, use that footage of, like, you know, what we're hoping is, like, will be like the world Soarin. But you could have it almost hosted, or, you know, you could have cameos and brand it, you know, somewhat not heavily, but you could, you know, sprinkle in some Marvel characters through there.
Sure, sure. No reason you couldn't get, you know, buzzed by the, you know, trio from Iron Man 3 instead of getting buzzed by the, you know, Air Force jets.
What if they combined Soarin with kind of the Toy Story Mania or the Buzz Lightyear? It was like a Soarin, but it was also interactive, and you could actually, like, you know, shoot at things and blow stuff up.
Oh yeah, if you can win it. If you can win it, I'll write it.
Yeah, that was my son's big idea.
All right, so Jay, give us the detail on your son's concept.
He wanted a Toy Story Mania style ride where each room you enter was a different Avenger. And you basically had the triggers in front of you, and when you get to one section, you're shooting arrows like Hawkeye, and when you get to the next section, you're throwing punches like Hulk, you know, swinging the hammer like Thor. He's like that same type of ride, you know.
Sure.
When you go to each room, is a different Avenger, and then when you get to the end, it's a big fight scene, but you could, like, pick on, you know, you click on the front of your screen right in your seat and you pick which Avenger you want to be. So say you did better with Hawkeye, you could pick Hawkeye. Say you did better with Hulk, you could pick Hulk.
Okay.
You know, and then your last screen, it's essentially whoever you picked, that's what weapon you're using.
Right, right.
For
and
your fight.
Kind of a free for all.
Yeah.
I love
to try
it.
And,
that'd be
to
cool.
Try and make
really
the,
cool.
the high score.
Yeah.
And I've said it before, my 9-year-old, his imagination goes, as soon as I told him this, he was just rambling and rambling and rambling. And I'm like, all right, we got to, like, hone this in a little bit. But I finally got him to tell me that. And I was like, that's crazy that he came up with everything he wanted. He had the order. He wrote it down. He was like, I know exactly what I want.
The buttons and
yeah, he was totally immersed in it, which is awesome. Because that's, you think about it, that's what an Imagineer is going to do.
Sure.
They're going to think about that, and they're going to sit, and they're going to draw, and they're going to, you know, write down whatever they want. And that's how it starts. It's unbelievable to see that coming out of my 9-year-old, which was one of my better parts, my favorite parts of doing this show.
Cool.
So, Owen, how about you? What's another, you know, discrete element that you came up with of a place that you'd like to see Marvel included in Walt Disney World?
Well, I think, you know, the Universal, basically the New York you walk through is pretty cool, but it's also a little bit flat. Like, I mean, I loved it. I'm not saying anything bad about it, but I think Disney World, if Disney could do a thing like that, I think they would do it a lot better. Just like with the little details they would add, like how you can smell, you know, bread baking on Main Street and stuff like that. I don't have any specific ideas, but I think if Disney did a thing similar to what Universal has done, I would just be excited to see what those guys would come up with as far as the little details you would find. Like, you know, one time I remember being in line for Star Tours, and there's that part where the AT-AT, you can see where he just had taken a step, and they put he had his footprint in the sand or whatever.
Right, right.
And I was just going on and on about it, and my relative I was with kind of looked at me like I was crazy, and I was like, what? This place is wasted on you. Because they put those little details in. I mean, they could have just had the foot standing up, but they thought about the fact that it stepped and then it took a step up. You know, they think of little details like that, and I would love to see what they would do with what Universal did, but add little, you know, fourth wall type stuff, or, you know, a little more details to make you immersed in that world.
Sure. I mean, you want to see the Avengers New York, you know, you want to see Stark Tower, you want to see that glowing A, you know, above the skyline kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, that's kind of environment, and it sounded like, you know, Hollywood Studios was probably where you thought that belonged.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about some things at Hollywood Studios too. And, you know, one of the things that came to mind pretty quickly thinking about, you know, finding a place to do these things at Hollywood Studios, it really strikes me that especially once they change things out and, you know, the Star Wars stuff gets a bigger footprint in the parks and Pixar has a bigger footprint, if Marvel's going to come in too, Rock and Roller Coaster just becomes really out of place. It's this one music-focused attraction that doesn't really have a connection to any of the Disney Cinematic Universe, which is a pretty broad universe.
We hit that one, too.
Yeah. So, but by the same token, it seems to me that that one would be fairly easy to, you know, re-theme as a Marvel character coaster. You know, my first thought was that you could do it as a, like an Iron Man or some other flying character like that. But the more I thought about it, it makes actually more sense to use, you know, one of the Marvel vehicles that people are familiar with. And the one that kind of stuck out in my mind as I was thinking about it is the Fantastic Four's, I don't even remember what they call that thing, because they don't call it a Quinjet, do they? It's the one that has four separate compartments and then fits together, or three separate compartments, and so it can go together.
I don't know what they call it.
I forget what they call it. But in any case, that vehicle was the one that came to mind. Now, it doesn't have to be that one. That's just the one that came up in my head. And it just, it's like if you went into the attraction itself and you just, you wouldn't even have to do a lot to it, right? I mean, you replace the neon signs with, you know, modern technology LED lighting effects. And you could do things with, you know, villains coming by, or, you know, allied Avengers. You know, you could have that opening, the scene one where you have the meeting with Aerosmith. You know, instead you're meeting with, you know, you're getting your briefing from Nick Fury.
Yeah.
So, you know, Nick Fury and Maria Hill are there, giving you your briefing to head out to the, you know, the Quinjet and report for duty. And it would fit the theme better, and it wouldn't take a whole lot to really completely remake that attraction.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I like it, but I think when you take off, the 0-60 takeoff should be a Hulk push. And he should shove you.
A push start from Hulk. I got,
yeah,
that works.
Hey, we can't get it going. Yeah. The Hulk push.
See, we thought the same thing, retheming Rock and Roller Coaster, except going Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians was, actually, I started down that direction. And the reason, yes, I got away from it is because I got stuck on this vehicle idea. But go ahead. Talk to me about what you were going to do with Guardians.
Basically the same thing. You know, rip out all the extra stuff, retheme it that way, to be the scene at the beginning where he ends up crashing at the end.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like kind of like that scene or that style, right, where they're trying to escape from the from the police or whatever they are chasing them when Rocket wrecks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what we were thinking was along that line. And, you know, at the beginning, it could be – it could either be Groot or, as whoever said about Hulk, a push, and it could be Drax. Same thing, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
Drax gives you that shove and you're off.
And you Guardians have good music.
And that's exactly it. That has the best soundtrack of any Avengers movie or Marvel movie I've ever seen. So we can keep the good music.
All right, it's good music, but the original Avengers actually had a really great score too, and more of a cinematic score.
All right, stop getting technical.
Guardians of the Galaxy could probably fit in almost any part because I think it's if you think about it, it's almost like a Disney movie. I mean, it is a Disney movie, but like you know, they have the Chris Pratt's character is totally like. You know, like in Aladdin or any of the, you know, or even the guy from Frozen. I can't think of his name offhand, but he's kind of just goofy, not super meathead, you know, kind of hero. And then obviously they have Rocket and Groot who are like an animal character. And, you know, it just I think they could fit in any park and you could do like a Space Mountain type thing with Guardians of the Galaxy or you could do. I don't know. You could find a different type of ride for whatever park you'd want to put them in, but I think they're a perfect fit at Disney.
I'm going to blow your mind with the next one.
Okay, so let's hear it.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, character meet and greet, except at Animal Kingdom. Rocket Raccoon and turn Divine into Groot.
That was on my paper right here.
Beat you to it.
Mark it off.
Wait, you're using paper? I just have a notepad document open.
I got paper. I was late. I grabbed a random piece of paper with my Disney prices on the other side.
But all right, yeah, so what you put, you know, I guess as long as we're going to go to, you know, outer space-based section of Animal Kingdom anyway, you might as well put, you know, Rocket and Groot on the path to Pandora, right?
Correct. Although I wish that would just never happen. I don't want that.
Well, that ship sailed. So
I don't like that sentence for those.
I know. I don't like it.
I can go to Animal Kingdom, and I don't have to go to Pandora, though.
True.
Well, but you know, maybe if you were going to be able to meet Rocket and Groot on the way, you would choose.
I might go halfway.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going all the way out there. There's no way.
I totally support replacing Divine because she creeps me out.
I have one of the best pictures. Our daughter's trip in a couple years ago. My daughter's standing right in front of her and had no idea. She's like, what? What am I looking at? And then she reached down and like almost touched her. And she's like, ah!
I love it.
Yes.
So, Owen, did you have another concept for us?
I had a smaller one, but they have the at Epcot. They have like the they have the Agent P thing, and they have like the there's one at Epcot, and I can't there's an Agent P one, and there's another one somewhere else where it's like a game where you can play.
Well, yeah, we've got the Sorcerer's Wizards game,
yeah, Sorcerer's
in Magic Kingdom. And yeah, actually, so the Pirates game too now in that's only in Adventureland.
Oh, I didn't even know about that one. So you could pretty easily do like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything related to the Marvel universe. I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the obvious one because you know finding clues throughout the world and stuff like that. But just like a game that is focused on the younger kind of crowd to interact with some of the attractions and some of the exhibits.
Yeah, see, that would be a lot of fun, and that would work well, you know, really wherever you put it, either, because I was just listening to something where they were talking about the fact that all the parks are looking to add more of these sort of interactive game things, because they've gone really well. You know, Sorcerers of Magic Kingdom and the Pirate Game in Magic Kingdom, the Wilderness Explorers in Animal Kingdom, the Agent P in Epcot, all of those have been really successful. And so you could put something like that wherever you ended up putting Marvel characters. You could, you know, and I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the perfect tie-in. Because it helps link you know, all of those various properties and pieces together.
Mm-hmm. And you could almost, you could also even just add Marvel characters to any of those games as well, if you wanted to go that route. Like, you could add, like, I love, my son's played the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom just for a little bit, but I thought it was kind of cool with, like, Buzz Lightyear fighting Maleficent or whatever. It was, like, the first one I remember was Buzz Lightyear was the car that he played. And I just thought that was cool how they crossed their characters like that. And you could easily make that Spider-Man or Iron Man or Captain America or whoever, you know, just add those characters into another game that's already there, too.
That's true, too. And, you know, that would kind of play off the whole, you know, Disney Infinity toy box, you know, concept.
Yep.
So it would make sense from that perspective as well. Yeah. Well, you know, I had another kind of small one as well, and it kind of dovetails a little bit with what Owen was talking about in terms of, you know, wanting to see what Imagineering would do with, you know, creating that environment, you know, the Avengers New York environment. Because to me, you know, I think you've got to have, as an element of that Avengers New York environment, you got to have a shawarma stand.
Nice.
You know, and it's great. It, you know, it's good street food. It's quick. It's easy. You know, I lived in Israel for a year, and that was, you know, typical lunch. You know, it just belongs, right? It would feel organic. And not everybody would necessarily get it because it's, you know, obviously this throwaway at the end of one movie. But it to me, it's the perfect one of those kind of elements because it's a little in-joke, you know? And maybe they've got a, you know, how a lot of restaurants have the pictures of, you know, famous people who have eaten there. You know, so maybe there's a you know, a signed picture of Tony Stark on the wall.
I think that's a great idea.
All right, so who else has another, you know, new interesting blue sky concept for us for including Marvel characters at Walt Disney World?
All right, I've got one for another one for Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
You've got the Indiana Jones stunt show. What if you change that into a Captain America show, but do it a Captain America period, like 40s. So it's a stunt show, but it's just basically, you know, basically what it is now, but with Captain America as your lead character. You can still do have some crowd participation, but you could just change that around pretty easily since the period's kind of
it's similar.
Already there.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And, you know, he doesn't have, you know, you don't have flying and you don't have, I mean, you got, you know, fighting and punching and you'd have to throw a shield, but, you know, it'd be a cool show. You still use people in, you could still, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, cause that stage is outside kind of, you know, you wouldn't have to have a ton of technology to go into like you would for something else, Marvel, but I don't know, I think it'd be a cool fun show.
Yeah, and it works well with, you know, that character. I mean, Captain America is, you know, probably the most flesh and bone character, you know,
right.
Maybe the best way to put it. I mean, he's not all technology. So that would work well in that setting, I think.
Way to go, Coy. You stole my idea now. See,
you got your idea.
So we're taking turns stealing Jay's ideas. Luckily, his son was riffing like crazy, so I'm sure he's got another one for us.
He's got simulators. He's got Avengers Academy. He's got meals. He's got all kinds of stuff planned.
All right. Well, let's hear another one of these then.
One of his favorite things to do, actually, at Disney was the Animation Academy.
Right, right.
And he said, I just want an Avengers Academy where I can either learn to do cool stuff that the Avengers do or learn to draw them.
Okay.
You know, similar to Animation Academy. He kind of took it a little bit further by saying, you know, trying to, like, maybe similar to, like, throwing the shield, but maybe teach them to throw a boomerang or, you know, something of that, you know, that aspect to kind of show them something that could be done outdoors, keep them active instead of just, you know, video games and technology all the time.
You know, though, that would dovetail really well. I don't know if you've probably seen the flood of media recently about it, but, you know, Disney just announced this new toy technology, this Play Motion thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is this sort of wearable simulator.
Yes.
That just seems perfect for this.
Yeah. He didn't see that, but I've seen a little bit of trailing about it, but I think that would be something really cool too, you know, where you can learn to do the, you know, they have all these toys out that are, you know, the Nerf bone arrows and stuff like that. You can teach them to shoot like Hawkeye. You can teach them to throw the boomerang so it kind of looks like the shield when Captain America throws it.
Sure.
You know, that type of stuff. I thought it was an awesome idea, you know, something to keep them active.
More
the technology stuff.
I love the comic book drawing too. That's an awesome idea.
Yeah, he loved the Animation Academy. When he heard that was closing, he was devastated.
That's
he was never very good at it and always cried when we were there. But when we weren't there, he was, I want to go back. So he has them all in his room. He has all his drawings on his wall
from
all the different characters. So he loves that place. And like I said, it was one of those things he was upset. But he thinks that something similar to that would be good, like to learn to draw the comics or, you know, to do the actual weapons type stuff.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
So how about you, Corey? You have another one for us?
I had a couple meet and greet. I was thinking about what if you did, you know, if you converted Epcot or something into more Marvel, doing kind of in the detail theme, but doing some hidden Marvel character logos, you know, more less noticeable stuff, but stuff people could look for, you know, Avengers logos and Iron Man logos, and just integrate that stuff into
sure
kind into of like, everything would be cool.
Yeah, like, you know, it's kind of another supplement to the, you know, the hidden Mickeys, and there are a few places where there's a hidden Donald Duck or Tinkerbell. Those would lend themselves well to just, you know, little details that would be fun for kids to try and hunt for.
Yeah, and you could do, you know, you could do them in other parks too, just to continue to tie in the fact that Marvel is Disney. You know, even in the Magic Kingdom, you could have, you know, a logo somewhere, and you're like, oh, yeah, just kind of keeps it all meshed and mingled together, kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah, it just makes it an integrated whole.
Yeah.
Or turn it into a scavenger hunt, similar to like the windows, the sorcerer card windows. Because honestly, yeah, I walked by those 100 times and I never knew they were there until I looked at the next card and saw that this is where I'm going. I'm like, really? Yeah. There's something in that window?
Well, and not just
you don't think about it.
Not just the sorcerer card game windows, but you know, you've got the Imagineer, you know, the tribute windows, the legend windows, mm-hmm, that are there along Main Street, and you've got things like the you know, the Roger Rabbit windows at Hollywood Studios, right? You've got the spot where you can see that, you know, Roger's run through the window in Eddie Valiant's office. And I mean, those little detail kinds of things are really great ways to make that rich environment that, you know, Owen was talking about, right? That if you're going to, it's not just the big iconic Stark Tower, but it's that, you know, on your way to Stark Tower, you go past, you know, an apartment building with, you know, the name Romanoff next to one of the buzzers. And yeah, it's just a little subtle thing, but people who know what they're looking for know that they just walk past Black Widow's apartment.
Right.
Yeah. I think Streets of America, too, would be a great place for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, it's already pretty much there just to look at. You know, you make a scavenger hunt just in that area where you can go and, you know, say, okay, you got to find all these Avengers logos. And then, you know, you get the stickers like you do on the Wilderness Explorers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you can do some similar things too, especially, you know, if you know, that's on the Hollywood Studio side. If we're talking about doing this in Epcot, you know, you could do the same kind of thing as Wilderness Explorer, you know, having the kids needing to, you know, interact with cast members at, you know, Interventions/Stark Expo, right? You know, ask the cast member about this thing and they sign, you know, you get your sticker or whatever. Because that's, I think, one of the things that makes the Animal Kingdom one work so well is that it encourages that interaction that is so uniquely Disney.
Yeah, one thing I just thought of too while you were talking about Animal Kingdom is they were briefly in Wakanda in the Avengers 2, which is somewhere, it's supposed to be somewhere in Africa. I think it's a fictional place in Africa where Black Panther is from.
Right.
And I'm sure they'll expand upon that later. I'm sure I don't know too much about Black Panther, but the villain, Andy Serkis's villain who got his arm cut off, is a big Black Panther villain.
Yes, yes he is.
So I believe that's probably going to be expanded on further later, and that just makes sense to put something about Wakanda and Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, we should get more Wakanda in a couple of films, because Wakanda is supposed to play some role in Civil War,
yep.
And then there's a Black Panther movie in development.
Mm-hmm.
So and that one's almost certainly going to have Wakanda playing a major role. So,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you could do like you could search for vibranium or something. That's Captain America's shield's made of, and it's only found in Wakanda. So you could do like a scavenger hunt to look for vibranium or something nerdy like that.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and you know, as I recall, a big part of Wakanda's sort of mythology is the gorillas there, and there are gorillas at Animal Kingdom. I mean, you can
right.
You can build on what's already there.
Yep.
For those tie-ins.
I think that would be huge for Animal Kingdom because I don't know if that's really. It's definitely not top of mind when I'm thinking about going there. It's usually like Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and then it's kind of, for our family, it's a cross between Epcot and Animal Kingdom. We've only gone to Animal Kingdom once, but I think if you had Marvel stuff there, that'd be right up there in probably the top two.
I mean, I think that there are some of the – we've talked about this in other contexts, but I think a lot of some – the gems of Animal Kingdom get overlooked because people just don't – there's not enough motivation for them to go check out the animal trails, for example,
mm-hmm.
And so if you can give them an incentive to spend some more time on the jungle trek or, spend some more time in the Pangani forest because they're, even if it's just because they're trying to hunt for the Marvel Easter egg hidden, they still will experience the stuff that's already there and is itself a good experience, just underappreciated.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. So Jay, you mentioned something about a character meal, I thought. And we've talked on the show in the past about the fact that, I at least think that we're in desperate need of a more,
boy-focused
character meal. So what do you got for us?
We actually talked quite a bit about a character meal unfortunately, we couldn't really figure out where to put it yet as far as building that was already there type renovation. So we were thinking new building.
Okay.
But we were thinking somewhere off of Streets of America, but going towards like using the Avengers Academy like building from the end of the movie.
Okay.
From the
end of Avengers 2, the
correct.
The,
yes. Sorry.
Kind of rural academy that they'd set up.
Correct. The one that's, out in the middle of nowhere that they don't really know about, but, something along those lines, just a basic character meal, pick five characters, six characters, rotate them through. As far as that goes, we also talked, I know it's going to sound weird, but we also talked about putting it at All Star Movies, on that property because it's a movie.
Interesting. Yeah. I think that would be a tough sell to the bean counters, but we're Blue Skying, so why not?
I'm sure it would be, but you never know, It's that whole thing. You don't know what's happening in Hollywood Studios yet, so you really can't keep building because they may already be building this.
Well, that's true too.
So they may be putting in our big cantina for Star Wars there.
I think
they probably are. Yes.
We the rumors have been strong that the cantina is the one part that is almost certainly going in, and it's just a matter of what else goes in. The last round of the rumor that I've heard is that the holdup is that you know, they came in with the cantina and not much else. You know, the ride concepts that they were going to build weren't sort of big enough. Mm-hmm. And the board said, look, we're happy to spend a big pile of cash here, but it's got to be on the right stuff, and this ain't the right stuff. So go back and try again.
But is it a rotating cantina?
Hey, that's mine.
That's what I mean.
Dude, if they have a rotating center of the cantina, you better get some credit for that, because that was on our podcast, what, a year?
More than
a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Hey, it's been a while. I don't even need cash. I'm just happy with credit and, you know, a reserve table right up front.
In which wing, though? Because there's going to be a couple wings.
So. Doesn't matter, as long as it's one that's open.
But, yeah, I definitely think there's we've talked about it numerous times. The character meal geared towards boys is definitely past due at this point.
Well, but here's the challenge in my mind. You know, the character meals that make sense to me, or that I enjoy the most, are the ones that make sense. Right. And, you know, it makes sense when Lilo and Stitch show up at Ohana. You know, it makes sense when the safari clad fab characters, you know, come out at Tusker House. And the princesses make sense coming out in Cinderella's Royal Table. How do you make the Marvel characters feel organic in a character dining setting? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You'd almost have to do like a New York diner, you know, and like they just came out of battle and they're coming through to go somewhere else.
Or do their... I know people are going to want the full character experience, but do the everyday character, like their alter ego.
Oh,
yeah.
Have them meet as their secret identities.
Yeah.
How about it's just the Shield cafeteria and they're eating?
Well, you know, actually, that's not a bad idea.
It'd be big enough, yeah.
You know, there's supposedly, and you know, we haven't seen it yet, but supposedly one of the things that's, you know, likely to be a part of Pandora is the mess hall. Right?
Oh,
that's the big counter service will be the mess hall. But, you know, I could see the either Avengers Academy or even the Stark Tower. You know, you could be maybe more the more executive dining at Stark Tower. But yeah, that would make sense, you know, to do it as part of Avengers Academy, so that, you know, they were dining among the recruits, so to speak, and that would give the heroes a chance, you know, an excuse to meet the kids, right? Because they go around and welcome them as new recruits, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or even the kind of party scene they had in Avengers 2 where they were celebrating, and I believe that was in Stark Tower. You could do something similar to that where they're
the cocktail party where Ultron crashed it.
Yep. And
all
you
right,
could even add a show element where Ultron shows up or something too.
Yeah, you could. You could.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it makes scheduling the ADRs a little tricky, but, you know, you could find a way to do it. You know, every so often the, you know, lights flicker and the panel opens up and there's Ultron.
Yeah. I mean, you could do about the same as the amount of time it takes to do a loop of, you know, characters, you know, every 40 minutes or something.
Sure, sure.
It'd be possible. That'd be cool, though.
It would.
That's why everybody going would have to get an awesome Fairy Tale Journeys agent to help them book their character meals.
Good plug.
All right. Well, anybody else have, you know, ones that they feel like that we got to talk about this one because this one's great.
Well, I've got just one that Brett, who couldn't be on the show tonight, had mentioned. Doing a Marvel Weekends, just like Star Wars Weekends, but, you know, doing the whole thing, a whole park, you could do it. You know, I'd do it at Epcot if you were going to, you know, if we got Epcot to be Marvel themed at the front half, you could do it at Epcot. But, you know, if nothing else, you could do it at Hollywood Studios and do it in the fall instead of the spring. But, you know, same thing, just characters, theming, you know, maybe a nighttime show and just do... Marvel weekends.
Well, you know, I think there's a great opportunity to do that because it would almost like be like doing a Marvel exclusive version of Comic-Con, right? You know, you can, because especially since the Marvel Cinematic Universe has gotten so sprawling and so big, you know, it's not that difficult probably to be able to pull in, you know, a few actors each weekend that would be willing to do meet and greets and, you know, to get some of the various writers and directors who have worked on the films and editors who have worked on the films to, you know, do panel discussions about how the films come together and all that stuff. And I think fans would eat it up.
Oh, yeah. If you had Agent Coulson there one weekend or... you wouldn't have to have Robert Downey Jr. You could even have Agent Coulson there, and I think people would go nuts over that.
Oh, Don Cheadle.
Yeah. Don Cheadle, yeah.
Don Cheadle, or even, you know, people who, you know, played the little stand-up roles, you know, during the news footage that rolls at the end of, you know, the first Avengers movie, right? I mean, people are happy to do it. You know, whoever did the stunts for, you know, Scarlett Johansson.
I'd even settle for her being there.
You'd settle.
You'd suffer through that.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's a great option. And if you're doing it in Epcot, you've got places like, you know, you've got that empty Odyssey building that's available to do all kinds of event stuff. And really opportunities to do all kinds of meet and greet because there's space to do it. And, you know, limited time character meals and panel discussions and meet and greet and, you know, autograph, all that stuff. So, you know, Brett, we're sorry that you're busy fighting malware tonight, but we like the idea. All right. So, you know, we've come up with some fun, interesting things. We've talked about, you know, Marvel especially being integrated into either Epcot or Hollywood Studios. You've heard what we think. We'd love to hear your thoughts on where you'd like to see Marvel integrated into Walt Disney World. You can email us at podcast@disdads.com, and I'm happy to share some of those emails on future shows. You can visit our blog, disdads.com. Tweet us at DizDads Podcast on Twitter and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Coy Seipert.
May the Force be with you.
Owen Killam.
Peace and love.
And Jay Gilbert.
Avengers.
Nice job, guys.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thank you.
I was hoping you were going to hit me last because I was going to leave it hang, like Avengers, like the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Avengers, and I was just going to go black screen because that would freak my daughter out. It's all she waited for.
We can re-record that last bit if you want.
I would love to, cause just so she can freak out when she listens to it.
All right, so we'll try it again.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.